Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yatshela. We're now in Masechet Bechorot of Chaf Tet Amud Bet, at the very bottom of the Amud, looking at Mishnah Tet, continuing with the theme of dealing with people who are suspected of violating the law in one area or another. HaChashud Liot Mocher Truma L'Shem Chulin. Somebody who's suspected of selling Truma under the guise of Chulin. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't buy any food from him, even water or salt, which clearly are exempt from Truma. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says, Kol sheish po zikat Truma umasrot en lokhim minu. Only things that are somehow connected to Truma umasrot. Now, latuye mai, what is Rabbi Shimon including or extending by having this phrase, Kol sheish po zikat Truma umasrot, latuye kirve dagim, to include fish innards, to ma'arvi bohu shemen zayit, because they mix olive oil with it, and olive oil itself is subject to truma, therefore that is also prohibited. However, clearly, Rabbi Yehuda has a much larger fine, and to put this fellow in his place, and I guess try to rehabilitate him, refuses him all business. Ha'utabach davi chashud lezabune tarba da'atvam b'marikanta. There was a shochet who was suspected of selling fats, chelev, and under the guise of being some of the mutar fats of the kidney. Kanse Rava lezavune afilu amguze. Rava said you can't sell even nuts, egozim, even nuts, walnuts. So Rava Papa the Rava. So Papa said to Rava, who are you following here? Come on, Rabbi Yehuda. Seems like you're following Rabbi Yehuda. Which is who find beyond the particular issue of violation. In the case of Truma Masrot, said you can't even buy water. So Ikra Yehuda filam melachnami. If you're going to follow Rabbi Yehuda, you should go further and say you can't even buy water and salt. Why did you stop at walnuts? Liolam Rabbi Shimon. He says, no, I'm following Rabbi Shimon. Uvisura de gufekan zinlei. What did Rabbi Shimon say? You fine him in things that he has been violating. Since he violated Trumot Masrot, you fine him in everything related to that. In our case, Stam Dardaki Garubam Guze. Little kids like to play with nuts. What does this guy do? Va'azil Mashabish the Bnei Tabachi Vigarubam Guze. This guy would go and kind of give the kids nuts. The children of the Tabachim. They would go bring him this fat from the thigh, and then he would sell it. In other words, he used the nuts in order to be able to perpetuate his fraud. Therefore, we find him, and you can't even buy nuts from him. Okay, the last Mishnah was going to open up a very interesting door for us. A chashud al shvi'it. If somebody is suspected of violating shvi'it, eno chashud al masrot does not mean he's automatically suspected of masrot. And here we're talking about maser sheni. Ha'chashud al masrot and ha'chashud al shvi'it, and vice versa. Ha'chashud al zeh ve'al zeh, but if you're suspected about both, then ha'chashud al taharot. You are suspected of not dealing properly with taharot. Now, important to note, and especially in the shadow of the Churban, taharot became, for the most part, a supererogatory practice, one that's beyond the technical reach of halakha, and indicated that someone was a member of a society of piety, which we refer to as the chaverim. We'll get into them in the Gemara. So to eat your chulin b'tahara was a sign of extra religiosity, if you will, but not required by the law. And we'll see how that plays out. But if you are suspected of violating taharot, doesn't mean you're suspected of either shvi'it or masrot. And then we bring it all together and bring it back to the middle of the Mishnah of the Perek. Notice that the Perek had three parts. The first part was about Bechorot. The second was about judging and testifying for cases. And the third was people who are suspected of violating the law and how we deal with them. Now we bring it back to the middle, which is if somebody is suspected of violating something, not only will we not buy some things or all things from him, but he cannot neither be a judge nor a witness in a case involving those things. Now, my Tama, why is it that if he's chashud al shvi'it, he might still be trusted about masrot? The answer is that in his mind, shvi'it lo baya choma, maser kevin baya choma chamer lei. He might see maser sheni as being more chamur because it has a requirement of being eaten inside the walls of Jerusalem, whereas shvi'it applies everywhere. So you may think of shvi'it as a lighter thing. Ha chashud al maser. Now flip it. Why is the opposite true? my tama, maser id lepidyon, because maser can be redeemed, and therefore you might think, oh, that's not so serious. Shvit, kevan dekam mitzer alei, once shvit is asur, v'leit lepidyon chamir alei, and there's no way to redeem, you can't take shvit stuff and swap it for money and make it ois shvit, therefore he takes it more seriously. Marachashur al zeh v'al zeh, if he's suspected of both masrot and shvit, why is he suspected of tarot? The answer is kevan dechashir adoraita koshkei adrabanan. If he's willing to violate laws that are doraita, certainly he will not maintain the rabbinic stricture of a higher level of taharot. Now v'yeshu chadashur al taharot. Now flip it. So my tama and he had adrabanan chashir adoraita lo chashir. So it's a simple flip. Just because a guy is suspected of violating this rules drabanan of taharot doesn't mean he'll violate the oraitas. Okay, Romini, here's the challenge. Nemal ha-taharot, nemal ha-shvi'it. If you're trusted about taharot, you're trusted about shvi'it. What's the implication? Ha-chashid, chashid. If you're suspected about taharot, you're also suspected to violate shvi'it, against what we just said. So, Rav Ila, matnitin shirinu shenohig betzina b'toch beito. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where we see the guy is careful about shvi'it, even privately. He's not putting on a show, he really means it. And so in that case, we'll say that he just doesn't have reverence for taharot. But the Braita is referring to a case where we don't have such information. So we think he's just a scofflaw. Rabbi Yonai, Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Nondahavi Chashid L'Tavayu. He constructs a different case. A guy was chashud to violate both. Va'ata kamerabon v'kabel atavayu. He came to the Beit Din and said, I'm accepting Shvi'it and I'm accepting taharot. And then one of them, he sort of backslid one of them. So we say, since he's now chashud, that he backslid into something that he practiced earlier, he's chashud about the other thing too. That's the brayta. Now we have several different approaches as to the authorship of the Mishnah and what others might say. Rabbi Yochanan in this version says that our Mishnah is based on Rabbi Akiva as a Stam Mishnah. Chachamim say in the first clause that you, if you're chashid on shvit, you are suspected to violate maaser. Now, man chachamim, according to that, who are they chachamim? It's Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Deva'at Rabbi Yehuda shvit chamir lei. In Rabbi Yehuda's town, shvit was very chamur. So if you are chashud on shvit, you're certainly not going to be careful about maaser, because everybody in his town, it takes shvit very seriously. How do I know? One guy was calling another fellow who was insulting him, and he said, oh, you're just a traveler, you're not really a citizen here. So what did he say? Back, and the other guy said as an insult back, well, at least I don't eat perot shvit like you do. In other words, you could see shvit was considered very serious. It was what was used as an insult. If you wanted to say somebody was not religious, you don't keep a shvit carefully. That's version one. Ikadami, version two. Again, it's Rabbi Kiva. Now we say the opposite, which is that if you're chashud on maser, then we have to assume that you're also not careful about shvit. Why? Man chachamim, Reb Meir, he who is chachamim here, it's Reb Meir. Which means it could go either way. And that is that in a particular case, Reb Meir says, not across the board, in a particular case that we're going to see very soon, if you're suspected of violating one law, you're suspected of violating all the laws. We'll see what that is. Now here is a couple other versions. Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Tamidi, Rabbi Zeira. There's two students of Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Zeira, Tamidi, Rabbi Yochanan. So one way or another, either students of Rabbi Yochanan or students of Rabbi Zeira. So we have both versions that we had of Rabbi Machana and Rabbi Yochanan playing out in the next generation. Okay, now Uman Chachamim, Rabbi Meir de Tanya. Here we go. Now, if a regular person decides that he wants to become a chaver, a member of the elite society that is careful about Shemot Masrot and Taharot, even in the absence of Mikdash. The group of Chavarim chiefly flourished after the Churban. And so if an Am Haaretz accepts these strictures, and then he becomes suspected of violating one of them, that's where Rabbi Meir said, suspected about one thing, suspected about everything. Chachamim, they disagree, you're only suspected about the thing that we know you violated. Now, Hager Shikval Abdi Veri Torah, continue with this notion of public acceptance. If a ger comes to convert, Chachon will agree that once we suspect that he's not keeping his word about one thing, right? Because not like he had a Jewish life before that was at standard Y and he moved up to standard X. Here he had no Jewish life, unlike the Amharits. Veruki Yisrael Mumar. But if the ger converted and then backslid, he's still a Yisrael. He's just an Yisrael who's an apostate. Nafkamina, why do we call him that? The Kaddish Kiddush of Kiddushin. Any transaction he makes is valid, and therefore if he gives Kiddushin to a woman, she's not free without a get, but he's still Yisrael Mumar. Okay, now we have a whole series of braitot that will carry us to the end of the parak about Chaverut, except for the last one, about the issues of Chaverut. Tana Bana, number one. Habala kama divi Chaverut, chutz midavar achad. If a guy comes and says, I'll accept what all the Chaverim do, except for one thing, a certain thing of Taharot, we'll see that this is not exactly the case, but for right now, we don't accept him. Goy Shabbat Kabel Divrei Torah Chutz Midavar Achad, or for somebody who's going to convert and say except for one thing, En Mekabli Noto, we don't accept him. Even if it's a very minor ruling of the rabbis, if the ger refuses to accept it, then we don't accept him. Rachin Ben Levi Shabbat Kabel Divrei Leviyah, when a Levi comes for the first time to do avoda, is to formally accept the requirement to do all the components of Leviya. But one thing I won't do, one thing I don't think is right. Ain Mekabel Noto, we don't accept him. Shneimar, Makriv Et HaMashlemim V'Tachin Min Aharon, Lo Tiyah Shokeim in the Mana. Who gets to partake in the Shlamim? The one who offers it. Meaning, Avodah Mesurah L'Bnei Aharon, any avodah that Bnei Aharon is supposed to do, called Kohen She'ino Modeba, if a Kohen does not accept and agree that this is his responsibility in the whole list, Eino Chelek Pekuna, he doesn't get a Chelek Pekuna, he doesn't get to partake in the parts the Kohenim are given. Okay, second brayta, Tana Rabbanan. Habalik Kabel Divrei Chaverut, and now we're going to focus mainly on Chaverut. Im Reinu Shenoeg Metzina'a B'toch Beito, if we see that he privately maintains these standards, V'Kabelinoto, first we accept him, V'Hakam Chabelinoto. So if a guy comes and says, I want to be a Chaver, and we already know that he privately is careful about Trumot, Masrot, and Taharot, then we accept him right away, and then we teach him the specifics. If not, then we first teach him, and then we accept him after we see that he accepts the practices. Either way, you accept him first, and he learns along the way. Tanur Banan, third brayta, Mekablim l'chnafayim, v'charkach mekablim taharot. Chnafayim, wings, here is an allusion to Netilat Yadayim. If we have a guy who's going to be, says he's going to be first careful about Netilat Yadayim, we accept him, and this is sort of the asterisk to what we saw in the first brayta about limited acceptance, and then we accept him for the next stage for taharot. So if he accepts, he'll be careful about Netilat Yadayim, then from then on, anything his hands touch, we do not suspect of being Tamei, but we won't go further until he accepts the next stage. But if he says, I'm only going to accept for Yadayim, Mekablinoto, but Kibel Taharot, Velo Kibel Knafayim, but if he does the opposite, he says, I'll be careful at Taharot, but since Yadayim I'm not interested in, Afa Taharot Lo Kibel, he gets nothing. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan, next bright, Ad Kam Mekablinoto. Meaning, how long does he have to have the practice before we accept him? If he's careful about the tahara with liquids, it's all rabbinic, and then a month, if he's careful about his garments, which comes to the whole thing of big day, this is the sugyot and chagiga, big day, amaretz, midras, leprushin, etc. So about being careful not to sit on or have contact with garments that amei haaretz had contact with, that's 12 months. Beit Hillel says, no, both are 12 months. If so, it should be listed in Masachet Eidiyot among those things where Beit Shammai is Mekil. So, it's the opposite. Beit Hillel says both cases are 30 days and they're lenient. Okay, next bright. Tanu Rabbanan. Here's the process. You have to get in front of three Chaverim to accept Chaverut. But his wife and his family does not have to. They come along with him. They're brought in along with him. Shemgamliel Omer Apanam Leimetot Tzuchim Lekabel Fnei Shlosha Chaverim. He disagrees, says they do have to come. It's not the same when you do it, accept it yourself. You're going to be much more careful about maintaining this, the stringencies, as opposed to my father did. Leven Chaver Shekibel. Alright. Hanu Rabbanan. Habal Kabel Divrei Chaverut. Tzuchim Lekabel Fnei Shlosha Chaverim. We already had that. Afilu Tamin Chacham Tzuchim Lekabel Fnei Shlosha Chaverim. Just because somebody is recognized as a Tamin Chacham does not mean he's automatically a Chaver. And he, if he wants to join, he also has to join with three Chaverim. Zaken v'yoshev v'shiva, but if he's an elder who's already on the Beit Din, Eino Tzuchim Lekabel Fnei Shlosha Chaverim, he doesn't need to accept. Shfar Kibel Av Mishah She'yashav, because we can assume that when he joined the Beit Din, he already accepted all of these stringencies formally, and he's already a chaver. Aba Shaul Omer Av Tamin Chacham Eino Tzarich Lekabel Fnei Shlosha Chaverim. He says even a Tamin Chacham doesn't need to. He's already in, and not only that, V'lo Oni Al Shachim Lekabel Fnei Shlosha Chaverim. He could already be, once he's a recognized Tamin Chacham, he can be a member of the Beit Din of the three that accepts others. Now, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Now, we have an interesting story, and Rabbi Yochanan gives us the background. It was during the period of Rechanan ben Antignos, whose father had some connection to the Mikdash. You'll see that in a minute, and was among the Kohanim. It was in his son's time that the following Mishnah was taught. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi is stopping Lo Milta B'Taharot. It was during Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi's period, which is middle of the 2nd century, and that's why I mentioned it was in their time period. They had a sefek about some din of Taharot. Shadaru Rabbanim Megabe B'Rosh Rabbi Yochanan Ben Togros. They sent a few students to this rabbi who evidently had expertise. Azilu Imrule La'ayinban. They said, go ask him to look into this halacha. Ashkechua the Katayin Taharot. They got to him, and they saw that he was carrying some Taharot. Oti Rabbanim Ididele Gabayu. So he took some of his own Rabbanim, his own students, and he gave them the Taharot. He wouldn't give it to the delegation sent by Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. V'kai Iyu Liyunibai. And then he sat down to try to figure out what the halacha was in that case. Meaning in the case that he had been sent. So Atu Amr Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. The students came back and told the teachers what happened. Amalu Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was very incensed. He said, Aviv Shalzeb Bizat HaMenachom, this fellow's father, Antignos, was also Mavazat HaMenachom. He also degraded us. He also wouldn't trust our Tamanich HaChomim with Taharot. Afu Mavazat HaMenachom. He's doing the same thing. He's degrading Tamanich HaChomim because he refuses to let them have the grapes or the wheat or whatever he was holding on to that was Taharot, and he insisted on giving it to only to his own guys. Rabbi Yossi disagreed and said, "Kvod zaken yeh munach b'komo. Leave him alone. His respect, his honor is should be guaranteed." The Kohanim have accepted a chumrah on themselves from the time of the Churban that they do not give Taharot to anybody else. So now Rabbi Yochanan says it was because of that story that we taught the piece that Tamanei Chachamim need to be accepted as Chavirim because they're not automatically in. Alright, Tana Rabbanan, next brayta. Chaver Shemet, if a chaver dies, Ishto Uvanav Uvnei Veito Harein Mechezkatan Ad Sheichashdu. His wife and kids are all considered to be Bnei Chaverim, and okay, until they do something which raises suspicion. V'chein Chatzer Shemachrim Batchelet. If you have a yard where they sell Tchelet, and if you recall from Menachot, there was a problem with Tchelet because people were selling a cheap dye called Kala Elon in its place. So Harehi Mechezkatan Shetipasel. Then you're allowed to continue buying from there until you know that they have stopped. They started selling the wrong stuff. That's cheskas kashrut. Tana Rabbanan. Next brayta. Eishan amaretz shenisait lachaver. Let's say an amaretz has a wife and the amaretz dies or divorces her, and she goes to marry a chaver. V'chein bitosh amaretz shenisait lachaver, or an amaretz daughter marries a chaver. V'chein avdosh amaretz shenikar lachaver, or an amaretz is a slave and he sold to a chaver. When they first start, the first time that they want to be trusted, they have to do a formal acceptance of Divrei Chaverut. Because they were raised, or they lived their life, in an environment where there was no care about that. Aval, the flip. Eishat Chaver, Shneset La'amaretz. V'chein Vitosh Chaver, Shneset La'amaretz. V'chein Avdosh Chaver, Shneukal La'amaretz. So you have the same thing. A woman was married to a Chaver, and he died or divorced her. A daughter of a chaver grew up in such a house, or a slave of a chaver. They don't need to do an acceptance. They started out that way. That's what they know the chaverut. He disagrees. And he tells a story. There's a woman who's married to a chaver. She used to help him put his tefillin on his hand. He said, she then married Amaretz. He was a tax farmer for the Romans, and we don't like those guys, and she would help him put his pouch together on his hand, his collection pouch. In other words, it was very easy for her to switch from being the aide to a very religious man doing his pious duty to being an aide to a criminal doing his duty. And therefore, when she marries the Amaret, she has to do a new Kabbalah for herself. Tanu Rabbanan, next piece. Kuran shechazru bahen. If somebody accepts Chavirut and then retracts, recants, we don't ever accept them again. Once they came in and then they left, they can never be accepted again. To Rabbi Meir, there's two versions of Rabbi Yehuda. One is if they stopped behaving properly, but only privately, then we don't. Because we see that they're trying to trick us. They're trying to put on the impression of being a Chavir, but privately they're not maintaining it. But if they just stop behaving that way publicly, we know it's not a trick. And then when they come back and say, I want to come back in, we assume that they're being honest. Ikadarmi is another way of reading Rabbi Yehuda. Im asud divrehen remat moniot. If they did their violation privately, if they continued to practice privately, then mekablinotan, before I said mekablinotan, because if their only practice was public, we know that they're just doing it for show. Okay, we accept them back in any case. God wants his children, his wayward children, to return, and therefore we also can be no more severe and must accept them back. It's like Ishkvar Akor and Yochanan. We follow that pair that says we allow them back in any case. And by the way, the thinking behind the pasuk is that God is so interested in his children coming back, he'll accept them even if they have previously come back and then left again. And even though it may indeed be that they are trying to do it for show, the minimal point that we get them back is valid. However, of course, that doesn't guarantee anything about the future. Tanu Rabbanan, next bright. Shonei Yomrim Chavesh Menaseh Gabai. A Gabai is a tax collector. If a Chaver becomes a Gabai, Dochir Oto Mechaver Oto. He gets thrown out of the society. Piresh Ein Mekabli Oto. And if he leaves his Gabaut, we don't accept him back, based on what we just saw. Chazur Lamar, the second read was, Piresh Oto Kuchol Adam. If he leaves his Gabaut, then he goes back to being a regular guy, who can rejoin, like anybody else, but he's not still in. So there's a story about this rabbi who was needed for a particular religious or scholarly piece. So Rabbi Rav Yosef, and 400 pairs of students all came to him to appeal to him. He heard they were coming, so he set up 400 nice chairs for them to sit in. Should have been pairs of chairs. And on the way they heard that he had also become a Gabai for the Romans. Actually, for the Babylonians. They sent the message and said, take your importance and get out of here. We're not interested in you. So he sent the message and said, if that's the case, I quit my Gabaut. Evidently, we were able to do that. Rav Yosef lo azal, Rabba azal. Rav Yosef still refused to go. Rabba went. Rav Yosef amar tanina piresha mekablinoto. I have the brayta that says that if the fellow left his gabaut, you still don't accept him. Rabba Mar Tanina Chazru Lamar Piresh Kuchol Adam. But Rabba quoted the second piece, which was they changed their mind and said, if the guy leaves his gabaut, then he's like everybody else, we can accept him. Tanu Rabbanan Kol HaBechorot Adam Roeh Chutz Mishel Atzmo. This last brayta comes back to the topic of the middle of the perek, which is about being done. You're allowed to be matir bechorot of any person except your own. Meaning of family members, but not your own. Because we're afraid that you're going to see something that, shall we say, is a little bit iffy, and call it a mum to save yourself and allow yourself to eat it. Vorot kol ha-shavet nasotavet. You're allowed to investigate other kodshim of your own and declare them to be bal mum, and you're allowed also to check your maser behema, same thing for a mum. V'nishal tarotav. And if you have certain taharot, you're also allowed to ask yourself the question about the taharot, and answer it. You can answer your own question, even though all of these things involve monetary issues. Amar, let's take a look. Kol b'chol adam roeh chutz mishel atzmo, mayaskinu, what's the case? Ilam b'chad, if he's the only guy, mi meheman. You wouldn't be believed about anybody else's. Why would we think you could see your own? Elevent Lata, must be that you're part of a Beit Din. Umir Shidi, since when is that the case? We have the Mishnah at the end of the second Berakah of Yevamot, which says that if a fellow is the Shaliach of a Get, who says, he may not subsequently marry the woman who just became freed, because we then suspect that he really made the whole thing up and did it to marry her. But if he's a member of a Beit Din that overseeing a miyun, rejection of Kiddushin Rabbanan or Chalitza, Yisaela, he may marry the girl. And we don't suspect that he did something nefarious. Meishu Beit Din is acting as a Beit Din, which means when you're a member of a Beit Din, we're not concerned that you're going to have your own personal negiot effect when it's something about an assessment. You can't judge in a case that takes interpretation, but not an assessment of saying, this is a proper mum. So why couldn't he be part of a panel of three? The matters mumim. Eliola machad. We have to go back to saying it's one. Chodav chistar am yochanan biyachid mumcha. He said in a case where the individual is a mumcha, he can be matir b'chorot, but not his own. Hacharam yachid mumcha. Now v'rod kodeshav. So why is he allowed to check his own kodeshim if not his own b'chor? To buy michole, because if he wanted to, he could be shoel on the hektish. You can't take back a b'chor because it wasn't up to you. It was born that way. But if you're makdish an animal, you could be shoel on the hektish and make a chulin again. So since he could do that, we trust him to say this is a mum. The same thing with Master Behema. Why? He could have gone into the corral before counting them and slashed every one of the animals a little bit, and they'd all be Balmi Mum. And that's mutter. You're allowed to slash your animals. And then when you count them, it comes out 10 and it's slashed. All right, that's a Master Balmum. So the fact that he could do that means that we also allow him to determine whether his Master Behema is a Balmum. Why is that? Because when he's Tame, he can eat this stuff. So it's not like he's gaining that much by saying, no, this stuff is tahor when he's asked a question, because even if it was tameh, he'd still be able to eat it when he is tameh. Okay, hadrono achad kam yisro chayavin. We've successfully completed our study of the fourth parak. We're going to the fifth parak, kopsu emuktashin, in the next podcast. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.